Yep, that's right. Welcome back to the Morning Chef. This is Life of Squid, and I am he, Squid Billy. I like that way that woman says my name, Squid Billy. Appreciate W Sauce, New Realm, Owl, and Lager. Hey, don't forget the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, November 25th, which is
10 days
away.
Those trees. I hope they're ready for me. Those trees up at the Eagle Watch. I'm gonna take them things out.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
Might as well be carrying an axe.
You'll be in the leaves then.
Things over.
You can still participate. Go to the 929 Game website. Click on the events page, and you can find all the information. Big shout out to Whataburger. We're gonna have breakfast by Whataburger. That is worth the price of admission itself.
I wonder if they're bringing breakfast on a bun, taquitos, on a honey butter chicken biscuit. I wonder what they'll go with. Maybe all the above.
I don't know, Ben, but I can't wait for a Whataburger breakfast.
Starving already.
On November 25th at the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic at Eagle Watch. All right, so get out there. Look, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, we can talk about the slap, everything. That's all fine and dandy. Tyson's doing some of the media availability, and, you know, I appreciate when the young people are a part of
the extra youth,
the media stuff, the scrums at these fights and stuff. And they had a young lady,
like a young Simone in there. You know what I mean?
That I'd like to see, been interested how Simone handled what Tyson did yesterday. It would have been interesting, but
she would have gassed him up.
But this girl, she's very young. I mean, maybe she's what, like 13, 14? I mean, what do you think, Dylan, in that picture?
Yeah, she was somewhere around
video.
There. Yeah.
And she asked Tyson about his legacy. And you know what? Just listen to the clip. I don't even know how to explain it.
No, I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word. So now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die. And it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing. Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when you're dead? Why do you want somebody?
True.
You think somebody really wants to think about you? How? What's the audacity? I think I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone? But my kids, maybe, or grandkids.
At the very end,
she's like 13.
I can't believe you cut it, because at the very end, she looks at me and she goes, well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yo, why did he do that, man? That dude's wild. There's nobody in the history of the world like Mike Tyson.
You know what? Can I say, we might get an old Tyson mindset in that ring. I don't think so. I'm not sold, because I've seen it, and I just know it won't happen. But that's the most 1989 Mike Tyson answer I have heard in a long time.
Well, and here's what I'll say. You saw Mike Tyson on the tail end of his boxing career. He would just get exhausted, and he'd be like, nah, I can't do this anymore. I hope that and I'm not sure that this fight's not rigged, so I'm just going to start there. He's too old to be in great shape. I hope he just goes in defense mode for like the first four rounds and then goes, you know what? Just going to go out with a flurry. I don't care what the contract says. I'm just going to knock this dude out.
But that's not – but see, that is – peak Mike Tyson is, it's over? Like, that quick. Like, ding, ding.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Tyson is knocked out. Peter McNeely, or Mike Tyson is knocked out. Frank Bruno. I mean, it did.
You know, there's Vegas odds on this, too. Because I just always thought it was like an exhibition. Nobody's really going to put money on it. Like, no, it's there's Vegas odds. I think Jake Paul's favored, like, minus 215.
How is he favored?
Because he's like, 27. I mean, dude, Mike Tyson, like the last few times he's fought, he just got in his corner and goes, nah, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. I just throw the towel in.
Now he fought Roy Jones.
Yeah, well, and Lord knows, that's the most geriatric boxing match
that was, don't rigged. There's no doubt that they were like, hey, let's get through this.
Yeah. Well, speaking of getting through this, we got to make our picks, Dylan. Hit that music. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. You know who else can probably start packing? That's Josh Allen if he loses this game to the Chiefs, man. That's been the Achilles heel of Josh Allen's. Let's start there. Mandatory NFL pick. Bo, Chiefs at Bills. Bills are giving 2 at home. Over-under, and this one's 45.5. I will start. I think everybody and all the sharps and all the Vegas tell you to take the Chiefs, probably money line on this. They're going to get it done. I just don't believe it, man. I like Josh Allen. I've been saying it all year. One of my favorite teams in the league. I think that at home in this atmosphere, Josh Allen puts it all on the line, gets it done. Give me Buffalo minus the 2 points. What say you?
I can't gain ground on you if we pick the same way.
Yeah, well, that's why I went first.
I wholeheartedly believe that Buffalo wins this game. I think it's always special. It's special for Buffalo when Kansas City and them get together because they have crushed Buffalo's hopes and dreams numerous times. It's in what was it Orchard Park is what they call it, right?
Yep.
It's in Orchard Park. Dude, give me Josh Allen. Give me the Bills minus two. I think they win by field goal.
I'm right there with you. All right, Dylan tried to get us to pick Missouri at South Carolina. That's not going to happen because the game of the weekend is Tennessee against Georgia. Georgia favored by 9.5. Everything in me, because I think I'm not used to seeing UGA at this level, so everything in me tells me to take Tennessee. I just said, though, in fair foul, I think this will be one of Georgia's most complete games. We've seen what Georgia is when the lights come on and they're able to kind of put their foot down, these big matchups. Obviously not get it done a week ago. I think Georgia's defensive front goes out and wins this game much like they did against Texas. Nico is not the dual threat that you saw against Ole Miss last week. I think the defense tees off. It's a big spread at 9.5. But give me Georgia minus the points this weekend. Georgia gets it done against Tennessee in what is a college football playoff elimination game.
I will zig when you zag here. I do believe that Georgia wins this game. However,
that's a big spread.
Nothing that they've showed me on offense means that they're going to blow anyone out. Whether Gaston or Nico plays, it will not matter because that's how good Tennessee's defense is, and that's how inconsistent Georgia's offense is. I think this one is like old school SEC, like 17-16, 20-13 kind of game, but I think Tennessee covers.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad pick, and like I said, man, I had to talk myself out of it picking Tennessee, but I just think Georgia in the end, we've seen this story. What's going to make you the most mad, I think, was what I asked myself in some of these games, and I think that would probably be, if I picked against Georgia this weekend. All right, let's go to our wild card picks. Get to pick whatever you want to. I'll stick with the NFL right here. This is a tough slate to gamble on the NFL. Like, there's a lot of tough picks. And this is the time of the year where I feel like Vegas starts, they're on to us. They start trying to make the lines a little bit funkier, so, kind of draw your bets out. How about this one? And I love the Ravens this year, but Kyle Hamilton probably going to miss this game. The Steelers and what their offense has been under Russell Wilson the last few weeks been very, very good. Steelers plus 3 against the Ravens. That Ravens secondary, especially without Kyle Hamilton, porous. It's like trying to patch a submarine with a stick of chewing gum back there right now. Give me Russell Wilson and the Steelers plus the 3 points against the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. That's my lock.
Well, I guess if I have to do my NFL lock now, I'm going to go Falcons are flying to Denver to play the Broncos, who have one of the better defenses in the league. Denver's offense is not phenomenal. They're hit or miss. Sean Payton is 3-0 against NFC South teams this year.
What are you about to do here?
Just listen to me.
What are you about to do?
Sean Payton is 3-0 against NFC South teams. All of those wins have been by double digits.
Woof.
The over-under is 44.5.
Okay.
Give me the under. 24-20, Falcons win, but give me the under.
Dude,
give me
the under. How bad do you want us
the
to
under.
Stress? I guess you can probably count on Falcons. You can count on the Falcons. That's not a bad pick.
I don't want the game to play out that way. I despise Sean Payton, right. And I'm not being held back today, so I can say whatever I want about Sean Payton. Yeah. I don't like him. He's a clown. I hope they blow the doors off. I hope Raheem Morris walks to this 50-yard line and says, "How you like me now?"
Yeah.
That's how bad we put it on him. However, this is a really good defense that Vance Joseph has, so I think that it's going to be a tight game, and I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
For my college pick, and I've done this before, and I'm going back to the well, I'm going down to Gainesville. All right, you
Stop
got 22
it.
LSU.
Leave my team alone.
Matching up against the Florida Gators. LSU favored by 3.5 on the road in Gainesville. What does Vegas know that we don't? I don't know. But DJ Lagway looks like he might be playing. I think Florida's a different team, even with all the injuries they've had. Seems like they have an injury at every position group. But even with all the injuries they have, I think they're looking up under DJ Lagway. I think this is that game. You always knew that Florida was going to get somebody along the way. I think this is the one. Give me Florida plus the 3.5 in Gainesville this weekend.
LSU has struggled mightily against dual threat quarterbacks.
Mightily.
And DJ Lagway is one that can mix in the run with a deep ball. See, I don't mind to pick. I hope you're right as much as I hope you're wrong, because I hope you go 1-3 this week, and I hope that's the one. Ohio State at Northwestern.
Ooh.
It's now listen to this. It's a 28.5 point spread. What do you think the over under is based on that? Without looking.
Northwestern. Let me 50.
43.5.
Ooh. Yuck.
Does that make any sense to you?
That's ugly, man.
Does that make any sense to you?
I don't mind that pick.
Does that make any sense to you?
No.
So I'm going the over.
Okay.
I'm going to take the over in this game. It's 43.5. Give me the over. And I don't know if you're going to take it to the bank or not.
I take the bank. I don't like it as much as I thought I was going to. I thought you were going to go
with the spread?
Yeah.
No. It's well,
I could definitely see a 35-0 coming out here.
You could, but I could also see a 42-3.
Hey, we got to get in a break, man, because up on the other side, there ain't nobody that knows the Atlanta Falcons like Mr. Dave Archer, who will be sitting in the booth this weekend next to Squid Billy. God bless his soul. We'll talk to him on the other side of the break about this Falcons-Broncos matchup. Stitch with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's 8:24. Thanks for waking up with us. Thanks for having us in the car with you on this beautiful Friday morning. Hopefully you're not sitting in traffic. We're watching helicopters fly by out the window here in Midtown. And that usually means you might be stuck out there.
Hopefully Arch is sitting in traffic.
Hopefully Arch is not sitting
in traffic. Yeah, he deserves it. He didn't return my call yesterday. I called him and he didn't return it, so I hope he's sitting in traffic.
We're going to go to Falcons radio analyst, Mr. Dave Archer. Arch, I hope you're not in traffic, man. I hope all the good things are coming your way today. Happy Friday to you.
Yes. Well, so far, happy Friday to you guys, too, and I am not sitting in traffic. And I deemed Bo's call yesterday not important enough to return, so that's where we're at on that.
Well, stung him. Got him.
You know what? It was very important, and you're going to have to pay a fine for that, Arch.
Arch, here's where I want to start with this. This was brought to my attention by somebody I was chatting with, another Falcons fan, and the question was posed to me, if the Falcons want to be taken seriously as a team that can not only win the division and make the playoffs, but a team that can make noise in the playoffs, this is one of the games they have to go get. How do you feel about that? And do you think that there is a roadmap for the Falcons to go out and dominate the Broncos?
Well, I think that certainly the first part of that, Mike, is I would agree that you have to go out and you got to go win some games in tough environments on the road. And certainly, I was thinking this week about the conditions and things that this team has had to play in, and really, it's been pretty pristine. I don't know that we're going to get a ton of weather out there, but it's certainly going to be colder, and some guys react differently to that than others. But teams that want to go on and win a championship are not bothered by whatever the situation is, whether you have to travel a long way or whether you have to play in conditions. And I think this team is equipped offensively to do both. We've talked about their ability to run it and throw it, and so that should fit whatever situation potentially that Mother Nature could throw at you. I do think that they were bothered some by crowd noise last week, as much as you want to say that guys got in the wrong position or something like that. I thought that the edge players were able to get upfield some. You know how that is, Mike, playing that position and trying to look inside for the snap and a silent count, and yet still keep your eyes craned out to find a guy that's coming off the edge. And they've got two guys that could come off the edge here. So I'll be interested to see what the Denver crowd can do there as far as that goes. But I would agree with you that you have to go, if you want to be taken seriously, you have to go win these kind of games. I think they're more than capable of doing it. Now, can they dominate Denver, as you suggested or thought about? I don't know that they can dominate them. I think they're good. Denver's good enough defensively where they're going to keep the game in front of them. Now, as soon as I say that, you go back a couple weeks ago, and Baltimore blew them off the field in the second half because they got their ground game cranked up. So the blowout piece of it, we'll just take a one-point win and get the hell out of there. But I do agree with you that you need to go win this football game.
I don't know, Arch. We might need style points for the College Football Playoff Committee.
Yeah. Crack top 12.
So I was breaking down the tape for Mike earlier this week, Arch, on the Denver defense, and they show a lot of five-man fronts. What have you seen from them with what they are doing with that five-man front and how they're using that to get after the quarterback and stop the run game, which they've been very good at?
Yeah, there. You know, teams. I've been as much tape as we all watch and stuff like that. Teams are pretty similar to one another in what they're trying to do. There's not a lot of, you know, we used to get all the different formations and or different styles and forms of offensive football. The same came with the heads of the different defenses. Van Joseph's done a nice job with their defense, but Vance Joseph, but they are similar to what we do, you know, from an upfront standpoint. Now they're different in the back end a little bit, that they play maybe a little bit more man coverage than Atlanta does, but they want to play match coverage in the back end. So that it's a form of man coverage, but they're going to take guys that are in their territory or in their area. And yeah, they want to single you up front if they can, and get 5-on-5 to come after you. Jonathan Cooper and Nick Benito are good up front. The two edge guys that they play as their outside linebackers / edge rushers. And then Franklin Myers on the inside, DJ Jones, Dak Allen. They've got four guys that have 5-plus sacks. So they're doing a good job of singling teams up front and getting 1-on-1 matchups. And those guys are winning those 1-on-1 matchups. That's what Atlanta's not doing defensively, is winning 1-on-1 matchups.
Hanging out with the Falcons radio analyst, Mr. Dave Archer, and talking about this game on Sunday coming up between the Broncos and the Atlanta Falcons. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 4:05 Eastern time. Pre-game coverage starts with me and Gofforth at 2:00. Arch, look, man, let's not sugarcoat anything. The DNPs at practice yesterday, there's a lot of cornerbacks on that list. D. Alford hamstring, Mike Hughes neck, Antonio Hamilton Sr. with the pec injury. What, you know, who do the Falcons turn to next? And you know, as far as the depth at that position, and what do you think that says about how Denver will try to attack this defense?
Well, I mean, again, as you get the attrition battle that happens on every National Football League team, the one that concerns me the most probably is D. Alford. D with a hamstring. I know he was limited or did not practice. And so you hope that that's more of a maintenance thing than it is anything else. Because I thought, I don't know how you felt, but I thought we were dramatically different when D went out of the game. Who was it against either Tampa or New Orleans when D left the game early on in one of those games? We were completely, it was the Tampa game because that was the game that Mike Hughes went off in. Yeah, we ended up getting Antonio Hamilton singled on Mike Hughes a couple of times, and they made us pay. I think D's really settled into that position. Mike Hughes has done a nice job on the outside, but Clark has traded in and out with him. Now, I know Clark got beat deep last weekend, but he's a tiger. And he's a guy that's going to come up and hit you. He's a very similar size to Hughes, so you're not losing a lot from a size standpoint. But I think that the D. Alford one is one that concerns you, because I'm not sure you have a guy that can do what D does, because he's more of a corner size guy. He's not that bigger dude, but he's quick twitch, and he can run. I think he understands what they're doing defensively. So that concerns you a little bit. Does that mean you play three safeties? Does that mean Richie Grant's more on the field and Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates are playing? Because they don't have a lot of place to turn. Kevin King will be a guy that'll play. But Antonio Hamilton, as you mentioned, is that guy that is kind of essentially that second or third nickelback to come in the game. So they're going to have to delve into maybe some of their practice squad a little bit as we look to game day.
Arch, when I was looking at Bo Nix's stuff, you know, obviously we've gotten to watch him a lot, but I was looking at kind of how his first 5-game split was to the second, because they're 10 games in. He's thrown for, 300 more yards in the last 5 games. His completion percentage is better. 7 touchdowns, 2-interception ratio. He's running the ball better. What have you seen in his progress from early in the season to now?
Well, I just think that he and Sean Payton are getting together better. They're melding better. I think he understands that the veteran coach is what he's trying to do with him. I think they're spending a lot of time in the meeting rooms together, maybe up in Sean's office, talking about, you know, what he's trying to call for him, what he's trying to accentuate, what Bo feels good about. So I think that's part of the ebb and flow of new coach, new quarterback scenarios, similar to what's going on here, even though we've got a veteran quarterback and a younger coordinator. They've got an older coordinator and a young quarterback. So it's a similar type meld between the two, mind-wise and what you feel comfortable with. I remember sitting down as a quarterback when I was a young guy playing and sitting down with my head coach, Dan Henning, and Dan would say, okay, what do you like on third down? And so you would go through that stuff. And most quarterbacks do that, but it's even more important for a younger quarterback to really feel like the coach wants to hear from you and that you have his ear and he's going to put things in that you feel comfortable with. I will say that, you know, the trends that you're talking about with Bo are interesting because the trends that they're having from a scoring standpoint, they're struggling. They're scoreless in the first quarter in 7 of 10 games this year, including the last three. They're also scoreless in the third quarter in 6 of 10 games, including the last three. So those trends are trending toward, the quarterback's playing a little better, but they're not putting any points on the board, which is interesting. Now, you better get them quickly because this defense settles in the second half. They're only giving up 7 points per game over their 10 games in the second half. So this is a team that you want to probably try to strike quickly on, and it looks like, based on some of the numbers, maybe their offense is giving the ball back to you, so you might have an opportunity for a couple more possessions in the first half.
Well, Arch, let's go out and get us a win on Sunday, man. Look, that's a long flight to be able to have to sit next to Bo on coming up. So, man, hopefully, prayers out to you for that.
Run. Well, the beauty of it is on these longer trips, they give us a bigger overhead space, so maybe we can get him in there with our bags and stuff like that.
Oh, man, safe travels, brother.
You laugh now, tough guy.
We'll catch up with you on Monday, man.
See you guys. Take care. Thanks.
That's Dave Archer, Falcons radio analyst. You'll hear the call from him and Wes Durham. Like I said, 4 o'clock, Bo will be sitting between the two of them with his arms up.
Only when the ball goes through the end zone on the kickoff. I miss that. They don't do that anymore where they take their arms and they extend it out. They don't really do that anymore. Yeah.
We got to get to break. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up next, man, Atlanta United fans. Come on, come all. Dax McCarty, the legend that is, joins us on the other side. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Morning Shift. Hopefully you're not out there stuck in traffic. It's a beautiful Friday morning. Thanks for letting us come on your ride with you in your car, in your office, wherever you're at. Maybe you're just at home. Maybe you hit the snooze button. Maybe you're listening on the Odyssey app on your Alexa, man. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing out there. But appreciate you hanging out with us, and we're going to go straight to the phone lines and bring in another guy that I'm appreciative of hanging out with us and appreciative of everything he's done on the field for Atlanta United this year. That's Mr. Dax McCarty. Dax, man, appreciate you hanging out with us this morning.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, guys. Thanks.
Dax, what is it like to be not only Coach Beard's favorite MLS player, but also the guy who shut Messi down in the playoffs?
Whoa, yeah, now we're talking.
Well, to the first part, that that was pretty special. I have to admit, I know this is blasphemy right here, but I've only seen one episode of Ted Lasso. I need to finish it, and I need to watch the entire thing now because Coach Beard is apparently a fan, which is really cool. As for the second part, that was a team effort, man. That was all 11 guys, coaching staff, subs, everyone. And I'm just happy I had a small part to play in slowing down, not just, in my opinion, the greatest player of all time, but also one of the best teams MLS has ever seen.
Dax, you've made no secret of it, man. I saw your post on Instagram saying, hey, this last home game ever a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, I was in the building for that one on the last-minute goal. Awesome, awesome atmosphere. But look, it's kind of crazy to kind of match up the fact that you're, stepping away from soccer at a time when it seems like Atlanta United have had to win every single game for like the last 8 games in order to keep going. That has to be a weird dynamic for you. It's like, I'm going to be done at some point, but yet we just keep winning. Talk about the kind of psyche that's been involved for you over this stretch of games, just knowing any one of them could be your last.
Yeah, it's been a mental roller coaster, guys. I've got to say, I've never experienced anything quite like it in my career because when you're in this situation, when you're younger, you want to say that I'm going to play like it's my last game ever, but subconsciously you know that you always have another year and another season to play better or to make it right or to correct a mistake. And so for me, I'm constantly battling with the feelings of, hey, you're playing with house money, man. You've got nothing to lose. You've had a great career and whatever happens, happens. But also, don't screw up, because if you do, if you make a mistake, if you make a boneheaded play that leads to a goal for the other team, it could be the last play you ever make on a soccer field. So the roller coaster of emotions, it's been real. It's been profound. But I've got to say, as a guy who's played for 19 years and just generally enjoyed every minute of it, I'm enjoying this last month that we've had almost more than any of my career, because I do know that it's going to come to an end. But the fact that our team is playing so well at this time of the season, we're peaking at the right time of the season. It's made what has been a very frustrating year overall very, very much worth it.
Well, you know, the last, Ry Valentino took over in June, I believe, and you guys obviously still struggle a little bit, but you've been rolling the last month, like you said. What has he meant to this team, and what has changed with him at the helm?
Yeah, Rob is an emotional leader, and he's cut from the same cloth as me, which is what I love about him. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and the best thing I can say about Rob is something he has, something that I value very, very highly in people, and it's a trait that not many people have, and it's the trait of self-awareness. And if you have self-awareness and you know what your strengths are and you know what your weaknesses are, I feel like you can maximize any position you're in when you're in a leadership role. And so Rob knows what his strengths are. He knows what his weaknesses are. He calls on other people to help him with things that he might not be great at. But the truth is that his training sessions have been sharp. His tactics have been spot on the last month. And his leadership has been brilliant. That's something that this club has lacked a little bit in the last, you know, whatever it's been, a couple years since we've struggled to make the playoffs. And he's been a really, really nice breath of fresh air for everyone in the club.
Visiting with Atlanta United's Dax McCarty, man. They face off next Sunday, November 24th, against Orlando. At Orlando, you can hear the pregame here at 2:30 and kick at 3:30. Don't miss that. That'll have Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. I want to talk a little bit about Orlando. You guys have obviously had some success against them this year, faced off with them a couple of times. I think that this team – Dax is a team that says, well, the regular season doesn't matter. You had to win the play-in game and everything else. But there's also some things you can probably take away from what you've seen from Orlando earlier this year. Talk about that matchup and you know, some of the difficulties you might face and some of the things you can take away from those earlier games.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think Orlando is a very good team, and they're very well coached. They have a coach who, in my opinion, is one of the best in the league. We have had some success against them in the regular season, and we need to draw on that. I think they're a team that, in a way that's similar to Miami, they like to have possession of the ball. They like to dictate the game, the tempo of the game, through possession, through moving teams side to side. They don't play that many long balls. They don't play that many passes over the top or in behind. And so, in a way, it'll be very similar to the Miami game when we defend. But when we attack, it'll be much different. Because Miami, what you get with them is you get their great attacking players in Messi and Suarez, who are super dangerous going forward. But when they have to defend, they don't put a ton of pressure on you when you have the ball in midfield or in your back line. Orlando's going to be very different. They're going to be at home. They're going to high-press us basically the entire game. So it'll look a little bit different than the Miami game. We're going to have to be sharper when we build out of the back, especially when we're playing through midfield. We have to know that we're going to get pressed from all different angles. And so that's going to be a big key for us, a big focus for us, is not losing the ball in the middle of the field, not losing the ball in bad spots, because you know that Orlando can hurt you in transition. So that's going to be a big focus for us.
Well, look, I want this run to last as long as it can. Obviously, at the end, with a trophy being hoisted.
Yeah, let's go.
All that said, I don't know when I'll get to talk to you again, if ever. So what's next for Dax? I mean, are you going to be in a
good
booth
question
somewhere talking about the game? Like, because you just broke it down amazingly.
Yeah.
Or because of some of the leadership things that you and Rob Valentino have in common, are you going to be on the sideline somewhere?
You know, if any of you guys, which apologies for not knowing your personal histories too well, but if anyone here is married, you know as well as I do that, you know, your spouse usually runs the house, right?
We're well aware. Yes, sir. We are well aware.
Yeah. So my wife, she's been a trooper throughout my career. She's been with me from the beginning. And, you know, we've moved around a few times. And I promised her that when I retired, we would be able to get settled down wherever she wants, and we would have a home base, and I would just figure it out from there. So coaching doesn't tend to let you be settled, right? Coaching is a tough life. It's a great life, especially if you're a good coach and you have success. I think I would make a pretty good coach. I really love working with younger players. I love being the older veteran mentor who helps younger guys right now. But the coaching lifestyle for me, guys, it's a little bit too much, especially after playing as long as I have. So I definitely wanna explore more the media space. I really enjoy breaking plays down, breaking games down, talking about the game. You know as well as I do, I can talk about the game forever. You know, this segment is probably going on way too long anyways.
So, oh, man, we're enjoying it, brother.
I definitely want to explore the media side of it. I have nothing set in stone yet. I wish I was like Tom Brady and already had a massive contract waiting for me on the other side. But right now, my focus is strictly on playing. I'm really enjoying this last little run that I have and that our team is having right now. So I'm going to focus on that.
Well, it's not Thanksgiving yet, and there's a Christmas tree in my house, so you know who rules mine.
Yes.
Oh, shout out to Miss McCarty, man. Hey, Dax, look, not only thank you for joining us, but best of luck next weekend. This city is so proud of you guys, man.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Dax McCarty, man. Vamos.
Wow.
Vamos ATL.
He's fun to talk to.
Yeah, man, that was awesome, man. I'm sitting here listening to him going, man, I hope he doesn't steal my job at some point.
That's well,
if that guy wants to enter the media space, I think he'll be just fine.
I think you and him maybe could do different things because I really hope that you're not going to be talking about trying to break down soccer.
Yeah, well, you know, the triangle offense and everything else. Hopefully he doesn't, you know, he doesn't know anything about mid-zone because that would be a detriment. Hey, man, we're going to come back with Stakey and Sandy in the building, figure out what they've got up. Man, they had big guests in here yesterday. We'll talk about that a little bit with him coming up on the other side. It's Mike and Bo. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.